The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Now we heard a little bit. Earlier in the show about this weekend, Sheriff Judd, who I'm sure you're familiar with, talked about his program, the Sentinel program. It sounded a little bit similar, but I want you to just kind of take us through your Safe School program. It sounded, I kind of like the sound of your program a little bit better than Sheriff Judd's.
Well, keep in mind when we talk about school violence in general, you actually have multiple different categories of potential adversaries. You have the outsider, people like Adam Lanza targeting Sandy Hook Elementary in 2012. Right. And then about 65% or so of incidents are the result of students escalating and executing an act of violence. Many of the different approaches to security that different people have been promoting lately, whether it be gun control types approaches or whether it be arming the classroom, as some have proposed in certain states and right. other.
And I believe there are some schools around the country. I know specifically here in Texas where there are some schools that have teachers that are already armed.
Sure. The thing is, it's much more complex than just one solution alone.
I know.
There's really no magic measure that's going to go ahead and mitigate all of these different types of issues. So really, it requires a multi-layered, integrated approach that looks at both prevention of the event, and there are some measures that we can use to proactively prevent certain kinds of events, but then also robust preparations.
Right.
Unfortunately, while all this discourse is going on about potential solutions, there's still major vulnerabilities that exist in schools today. And the mathematics underlying effective physical security and response just isn't being effectively addressed.
So in your opinion, the most important thing that schools can do is actually just kind of a risk management look. Let's take a look and see, where the problem lies. So at least we can fix some issues on campus right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you used that term because that's exactly the way we approach it. We look at it from in risk, you both try to reduce the risk probability
right.
by implementing measures that, in the case of schools, identify potential incubating problems, individuals that are on the pathway to targeted violence, and aid them in getting assistance rather than just expelling them where they're suddenly out of the sphere of influence and your ability to monitor them. Then likewise, trying to create a safe school climate and culture, which is what the Secret Service was promoting back in 2001, and it's actually a very valid strategy. The problem is many schools have had difficulty implementing that effectively. But then you also need to have robust physical security in place. A few examples of common vulnerabilities that we see resulting in tragedy over and over again. ANSI BHMA classroom function locks. I am on a crusade these days to get these things out of the classroom. They literally require a key to lock the door from the classroom side. And in almost every major shooting event we've seen where these locks were in classrooms, the doors did not get locked. Virginia
wow.
Tech being one good example. There's five classrooms in Norris Hall, Chosun Lee got into. Sandy Hook Elementary, same problem. Three classrooms got compromised. Now, I do not know what kind of locks they had at Stoneman Douglas, but I strongly suspect from what I've seen in other Florida schools, that was probably the case there, too.
Well, I think we heard an example of one girl talking about going into their classroom and the teacher attempting to close the door and lock it, and that's when he got shot. So you're probably right.
Mm-hmm. And also, it was also reported, at least in one witness statement regarding Stoneman Douglas, that the glass vision panel on the door was compromised and the gunman was able to fire through the open window. That's another big problem.
Wow.
Tempered glass glazing for hallway windows, door vision panels, they only provide against an individual penetrating with a firearm roughly around 3 to 9 seconds of delay time from entering into that classroom. My daughter has attended many of my courses. She attends a local high school here. You know, she brought up,
was she walk in with a checklist? Hello.
Exactly. Exactly. But anyway, to the dismay of her teachers, she brought up recently in a discussion on lockdown procedures, look, we can't lock down safely in these classrooms. They all kind of shushed her at the time because there's nothing that the
right.
teachers can do about it. But she was making a valid statement.
All right. So, Craig. I'm at a school, and I'm concerned about its safety and security for my child. What do I need to do? Do I just need to call you and say, "Hello, Mr. Gundry, bring your program to my school, please"? And if then what happens?
Well, if we are approached by a school or a district or something like that that's looking for assistance, we'll come in there. We'll basically do an initial audit, look at everything from emergency management preparations, communication systems, what they're doing as far as threat assessment and management's concerned, school climate and culture, and then also the physical security element of it, too. Then based on that, we'll aid them in kind of designing an improved strategy that integrates all those elements in a way that factors both the climate and culture and operational requirements of the school and their budget realities. So, that's usually the kind of approach we use.
So, I mean, do you agree that you know, all schools should have metal detectors and all schools should have every teacher, and obviously not every teacher, but most teachers who want to be armed? Do you think that those are two things that could happen that would be that would make it more safe, like right now?
Well, I'll tell you, let me take those as two separate discussions, because really there's kind of an opinion on both matters.
Okay.
Or research supporting both matters. On the first part about metal detectors and right. other high-profile measures in schools, we need to be really careful how we approach that. NASP, the National Association of School Psychologists, back in 2014, put out a report where they were extremely critical about high-profile security measures in schools because of their chilling effect on climate and culture, which, of course, affects the educational process. And truthfully, I agree with them 1,000%. What we need to do is implement measures in such a way that provide adequate security and preparation that are largely unnoticed by students. The second point of that, is, or the second question, with regards to
arming
the teachers. There was actually a study that was done by Purdue University a couple of years ago where they modeled out different types of responses or response models. They looked at concealed carry permit holders amongst the population of teachers, faculty, as well as also off-site response, basically 911 call, local police, or on-site SRO. Now, having a concealed carry permit holder, a weapon-carrying teacher in the classroom, did have some mitigative benefit.
I'm sure.
But not as much as many were expecting. Really, the one thing that mattered most in that study, the one conclusive thing that they came up with, was that the on-site professional responder, an SRO or an armed security officer properly selected and trained, had the biggest mitigating impact. Now, with that said, at Stone and Douglas, they had an SRO, but it was a 42-acre campus.
I was going to say that's. I was just going to say that that would make sense on a small elementary school, but not the campus like Parkland.
Usually, when we go in there, and we part of our program does involve the deployment of personnel, especially for this purpose. However, when we go into a school and we're assessing it to determine their needs, we look at the geography of the facility with a realistic approach to what would the response time be in different areas of the school. If it's longer than 120 seconds, it's too long.
Wow. It's notice to the students. All the security without the students noticing, but the students are an important part of knowing what's happening in an active shooter melee going on. I mean, they've got to have some kind of idea of what to do, right?
Absolutely. In fact, students play an important role on two ends. Number one is their own personal response, but then the second matter is also recognizing potential issues, potential threats. The Secret Service, back during their 2001 study of shootings back in the 1990s, one of the things they looked at was, were there other students that were aware of warning behaviors? And the numbers were staggering. In 82% of incidents, there was at least one other student that knew about this, or at least had strong indications. And it was the result of what we call leakage, which is where the student on the pathway to violence is communicated in some way to a third party. But in 59% of incidents, more than one person knew about it. That same thing is also corroborated by more recent research by people like J. Reed Malloy. So students need to know and feel safe reporting issues of concern to the administration so that they can implement some kind of an investigation and threat assessment.
Well, some of that happened in this particular issue. I believe some of that actually happened, right? I mean,
the process failed.
Right, and I don't know that the process really. I don't know that it failed. I was looking at some a report that talked about, and I'm pretty sure it was Broward County, and it might be other school districts around the country that have, you know, a program set up where they don't necessarily when a student does something wrong, they have it set up to, you know, kind of leave it up to the school to slap their hand and not call authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of a problem, too.
Yes, I agree. And I'll tell you another problem that I run into a lot also. A lot of schools believe, administrators, that if you expel the student of concern, the problem is gone. And that is a big problem.
Boy, no kidding.
Keep in mind that, you know, when you send them home, it doesn't mean that the problem went away. It just means that, A, that student is now outside your sphere of influence. You can't monitor the situation. You can't help implement the reinforcement stabilizing factors and mitigate the problems that could be accelerating them on the pathway. A good example is the Jared Kano case here in Tampa. We got lucky back in 2011 that that through leakage, him communicating to a friend of his, the police became aware of it. But the school district had expelled him the year before, and he spent the summer essentially kind of incubating.
Yeah, no kidding, just brooding in the basement.
Exactly.
Oof, exactly. Terrible. All right. So the most important thing as a parent that you can do today would be what?
Well, I would say a couple things. Number one, make sure your children know what to do. Now, at the high school level, you can actually sit down and have a conversation with them about personal response where they assume responsibility for their own actions. You know, meaning understanding the whole DHS run, hide, fight, understanding what circumstances, for example, may warrant escape from the environment and others that would require secure protection inside of a room that can be effectively locked and barricaded. Now, with elementary age students, that's a different thing altogether. They're not at an age where they can effectively make those kinds of decisions.
Right.
But the second part of that would be hold your school district accountable for their preparations. What are they doing? What are they not doing, more importantly? And unfortunately, that's the one thing that I don't see a lot of parents doing. Instead, everybody's really kind of looking for the magic bullet, as it were, which some people believe is gun control. Other people believe is arming, you know, teachers in the classroom.
Yeah.
Really, these are only partial solutions to a much, much larger problem.
So if the parents today wanted to get a hold of you and the Guardian Safe School program and see if they could get together with their school and you, how would they go about that?
Well, we're based here in Tampa, but we provide consulting services for different academic institutions all over the country. We can be reached by telephone 727-461-9417 or through our website, cisworldservices.org.
cisworldservices.org. Craig Gundry, Safe School Program. I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much. And good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Bye. See you later, Craig. So a lot of really good information from Craig. This is The Morning Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network. I remember... Here's another way you can keep your children safe. And this is just from me. Homeschool. And now you can't keep them safe from everything. I know that. But I just, on Valentine's Day, when the Parkland shooting was going on, I walked and it started. It happened when I left here at the Mercury Studios. And by the time I got home, it was still ongoing. And I walked in the house and my kids... My father-in-law were sitting there watching the coverage, and I thought, man, am I glad my kids are here. Because if they were at a school when I walked on the way home, I may have just gone and picked them up. And I know that's crazy thought, crazy thinking, because you're watching another school. It's not even your kid's school. But I believe I would have gone and got them out of their school they were in had they been in school. I was never so happy to have them at my house when that was going on. So if you can do it, I mean, that's another option. And then all you have to do is worry about your own house. Ooh.
Knowledge is power. Tweet at us with the hashtag #WhatILearnedToday. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.